With Mother's Day around the corner, are you thinking about a truly special gift for your mom? Let me tell you more about mylifeinabook.com. Every week, mylifeinabook.com will send her a question via email. These can be pre-written questions about her life or any custom questions that you choose to ask. And mylifeinabook.com compiles all of her responses into a beautiful keepsake book. One of the challenges I face with being a minimalist is wanting to be as intentional as possible about the things that I am buying. I do understand that I live in a world where I can't completely avoid purchases. There are birthdays, there are holidays, there are the celebrations. But if I can be more intentional about gift giving, it's so important to me. I've had the experience to gift one to my mom, and being able to gift that to her seemed more significant than something that wasn't as sentimental to her. So if this sounds like a gift that you'd be interested in giving, check out mylifeinabook.com and use code MINIMALIST at checkout for 10% off. Create an unforgettable gift for your mom this Mother's Day. That's mylifeinabook.com and use code MINIMALIST for 10% off today. Hello and welcome to the Minimalist Moms Podcast. I'm Diane. I'm a mother of three living in Columbus, Ohio. I'm trying to make room in my life for what matters by getting rid of the clutter and living life with purpose. I hope you'll join me on the journey to think more and do with less. Have you heard of the line, "There's no such thing as bad weather, only bad clothes"? In a more straightforward manner, it means go outside. I love and agree with this notion as I try to get myself outside even when temperatures dip under freezing or quickly make me break a sweat due to the humidity, which I honestly prefer a lot less than the cold. Anyways, a couple of years ago, I stumbled upon the book, There's No Such Thing as Bad Weather, A Scandinavian Mom's Secrets for Raising Healthy, Resilient, and Confident Kids. I have to tell you, it changed my perspective when it came to getting my kids outside. I felt so much freer and just more accepting of mud and dirt. All of this to say, it has been quite cold here in Ohio, and I've just been thinking about how important it is to still get our children outside, even if it's just for 15 minutes here and there. So I reached out to the author, Linda McGurk, to see if she'd join me to share about how we can encourage our children outside every day, the differences in American and Scandinavian parenting, and how to manage weather extremes, and much more. But before we get to the conversation, I wanted to encourage you to pre-order a copy of my upcoming book, Minimalist Moms, Living and Parenting with Simplicity. I have the book broken down into various categories of minimalism you can focus on in your daily life. Time, mindfulness, holidays, sentimental items, post-holiday decluttering, sustainability, pregnancy and postpartum, intentional purchasing, and more. I've included a link in the show notes for you. Again, thank you so much to everyone who supports the Minimalist Moms podcast by listening, leaving rating and reviews, or just following along on social media. It truly means the world to me, and I look forward to seeing this community grow. And now for my conversation with Linda. Linda, thank you so much for joining me on the Minimalist Moms podcast.
Yeah, thank you for having me. I'm excited to be here.
I am very excited to talk to you because your book was one of my favorites. I think I've read it probably 2 years ago now, but it really did impact me and change the way that I parent in regards to weather. So I can't wait to get into our conversation. But before we do that, I'm just going to allow you to introduce yourself to listeners who may not be familiar with you.
Yeah. So my name is Linda McGurk, and I'm originally from Sweden. I was born and raised here. And then I met my then husband in Australia and moved over to the US when I was in my 20s and spent better part of 15 years over there, partly in Montana, but the bulk of the time in Indiana, where I had my two daughters and where I also started my blog, Rain or Shine Mama, and eventually ended up writing the book, There's No Such Thing as Bad Weather. Now I'm actually back in Sweden since 3 years back and working on a new book. So that's the short version.
Yeah. Oh, I'm excited that you have a new book coming out. I'm curious though, what was the initial prompting for you to write your book, There's No Such Thing as Bad Weather? What was spurring in you that you felt like I need to put this information out there?
So when I moved to the US, I realized that there were a lot of differences between the two countries in terms of outdoor culture. Having grown up in Sweden, being outside in nature was always part of, you know, part of my fabric, my cultural fabric. And I saw a lot of that in Montana as well. But when we moved to Indiana, I noticed it was very different. People, like a lot of people, hibernated in winter, and people did not take their kids outside much. And when I had my two daughters, you know, it became even more obvious to me that we were from two worlds apart. When I took my girls out in the wintertime, people stopped and asked if me, you know, if I wanted a ride, and they took pity on me. They thought I didn't have a car. I was all alone in the playgrounds, and I felt like I was very lonely in my parenting experience. And I knew that there was a story there somewhere that I could share. And so that's kind of where the idea for a book was born. And then it took a few years before I actually got there. I started out with a blog at first because mm-hmm. I thought that was a good way to reach out to people with tips and inspiration, because I realized that a lot of this just had to do with not knowing, you know, how to dress kids for inclement weather. And even, you know, I even had a lot of moms tell me they thought it was dangerous to take their babies outside when there were like freezing temperatures. Mm-hmm. And to me, that was shocking, because in Sweden, we let babies nap outside even mm-hmm. in the wintertime. So that was like part of my, that's what all my friends were doing with their babies back home. And there I was in the US, and people thought I was, you know, pretty weird for letting my baby sleep outside and so forth. So I thought, you know, it'd be neat to kind of share some of the things that I knew from just growing up in Scandinavia. So that's where it started.
Yeah. I'm not going to lie. When I go to the park with my cousin in the winter, I'm in Ohio. So when we go to the park in the winter and no one's there, I'm kind of excited about it, because it's kind of nice to have the park to yourself. That said, if I didn't have my cousin with me, it would be a lonely parenting experience. So I can definitely mm-hmm. see why that would prompt you to write this, and just to encourage people that it is safe to be outside, as long as you're dressed appropriately too. Like, that's a huge part of this. We're not going to go out in the winter and leave our feet out there without being bundled. And maybe that's not for everyone, but the mm-hmm. idea of getting outside, we are so insulated now in our homes, much more than people have been throughout human history. So I think that we can handle a lot more than we
absolutely. And as I got, you know, I talked to a lot of older Americans too, who remember the time when it was considered normal and expected for kids to play outside. And I think a lot of that has just been lost along the way with, you know, the rise of electronic media and so forth.
One of the things that has been really helpful to me as a minimalist is setting a budget. Alongside of choosing not to impulsively spend, a budget also guides me in the areas that I've already intentionally set. It's a new year, and a lot of people are looking to rein in the spending and stick to a budget, and that's why I've been recommending Cube Money. People come to Cube Money to solve problems such as not successfully sticking to a budget over a long period of time, not saving enough money to reach goals, unplanned spending and purchases, or problems with relationships when it comes to money. Cube Money is an app that works like the envelope system. Have you ever wished you could practice the cash envelope system, but without having to carry around cash or just fear that you may lose it? Well, this is the perfect app for you. It brings that philosophy into the 21st century with a designated Visa debit card that spends and debits from whatever category you assign. Cube Money helps people stick to a budget, save more money, spend with purpose and intention, and strengthen relationships around money. If this sounds like a system that would work for you, visit cubemoney.com/minimalist. Visit Cube Money with a Q and create an account for free today.
This episode is sponsored by ByHeart. I'm so happy to partner with ByHeart because their goal is to create a future where all parents feel amazing about feeding their baby, no matter how they do it. Their mission is simple: make the best infant formula in the world. Let me tell you a little bit more. ByHeart's patented protein blend gets closest to breast milk by including the two most abundant proteins in breast milk, plus whole and partially broken down proteins for a nutritious blend that's gentle on tummies. ByHeart ran a clinical trial where they compared their formula to a leading infant formula, improved benefits like less spit up, easier digestion, and so much more. ByHeart is leading the ways in a lot of ways. They're the only U.S.-made infant formula to use organic, grass-fed, whole milk, not skim. It's the only new infant formula brand to add a comparison to breast milk in their clinical trial. And ByHeart is the first infant formula company to receive Clean Label Project's Purity Award. So are you curious about ByHeart? Redeem your welcome offer at byheart.com/podcast with code minimalist for a limited time. Additional terms and conditions apply. If you're planning to cut back on alcohol this dry January, Recess Zero Proof Craft Mocktails are the perfect alcohol replacement. Recess has meticulously crafted familiar favorites such as Lime Margarita and Grapefruit Paloma, allowing you to savor the flavors and experience of these cocktails without the alcohol content. Throughout January, my listeners can take advantage of a special offer and get 15% off the Recess Mocktail Sampler Pack at takearecess.com/minimalist. Every can of Recess boasts a lightly sparkling mocktail infused with functional ingredients and a calorie count of 25 or less. It's a guilt-free option for winding down during dry January. Again, whether it's the end of a demanding day, a dinner gathering, or simply a moment to unwind, these mocktails are the perfect choice. You won't miss the alcohol, and you certainly won't miss dealing with a hangover. Get 15% off Recess mocktails now at takearecess.com/minimalist so you can enjoy your favorite cocktails without the consequences.
You were talking about how you will sometimes go for a walk in the woods when your kids might just stay more around your house. And I love that you have woods so accessible to you. But I'm thinking about people that maybe do live in a more urban setting. And I guess, what would your encouragement be for them? Because obviously that's a slight barrier. So how would you address barriers in environment and location?
Yeah, this is a huge issue. Obviously, we want all kids to have equal access to nature, but that's not the reality today. So I think as a parent, you gotta try and do the best you can given where you live. So yeah, you may not have pristine wilderness right around the corner, but even if you live in the city, try and utilize the sort of nearby nature areas that you do have, parks, or, you know, in the city, the green areas tend to be more, you know, man-made, but there are still trees, and even try and think of small parcels of woods where in more developed areas too. So I think using what we have is important, because that's what we can get to on an everyday basis. And then maybe on the weekends, you can try to get out a little further if possible, and maybe trying to get to like a county park or a state park if possible. There are a lot of little things that communities can do to improve access, but it's going to be more of a community effort. So you have to sort of network with others and sort of get others on board. You take it to the next level. I know where I lived in rural Indiana, there was a need for a playground. There were several of us community members who banded together and started to raise money and got it together. And there are a lot of examples of communities where just doing little things like maybe getting a new walking trail and so forth. You just got to know what you want and sort of work for it. And I think it's possible to make those changes to make the community more outdoor friendly and more to give kids more access and better spaces to play outside. And then the third level, and that might be the hardest one to influence, but also try to influence the places where kids spend a lot of time, which is not always at home, but preschools and babysitters and the schools. I fought battles with my kids' schools for years to try and get them to allow more recess outside in the winter and so forth. It's not always easy, but I think the more parents who become aware of the advantages with, you know, outdoor play, the stronger we become as a force, and the more motivated schools might be as well to make some changes in that regard and let kids be outside more. And so I think we got to address that on several levels. It's not easy, but we got to try and do what we can there.
Absolutely. And as you're saying this, I'm just thinking for myself, usually when you're noticing a concern or a need, you're not the only one that notices it. And so to feel the encouragement or just the ability to be the first voice to stand. Sometimes, mm-hmm. yeah, that is the hardest step, but I've just noticed in previous examples in my own life, just I may have gone first, but I wasn't the only one. And that will kind of be the snowball effect that you might need to push.
Yes.
Well, one of my last questions that I think is really important before we wrap things up is, let's talk about extremes. What are some of your best tips? We'll talk about cold weather first. Do you have tips that we can implement when it's really cold outside?
Yeah, I think, you know, using your judgment is always key when it comes to extreme weather. Obviously, you know, the saying, there's no such thing as bad weather. You got to take it with a pinch of salt. I've never experienced it being too cold. Even several years ago when we had the polar vortex in the Midwest, mm-hmm. and the weathermen said that basically you're going to die if you open the door. Like, I was outside and played with my kids. We didn't stay out super long, but we were out for a good half hour. We were very bundled up and had minimal skin exposed. Like, basically all you could see was their eyes. So good gear is really crucial if you're going to be out in really cold weather, and especially with little kids who can't communicate real well, you got to be really vigilant about, you know, looking for signs of frostbite, mm-hmm. sure that their hands are not too cold and so forth. So just layering lots of, you know, wool closest to your body, and layer even like socks and gloves, and make sure to have minimal skin exposed, like I said. And also staying closer to home when it's cold like that. You want to be able to get inside quickly in case somebody does get cold, and also to stay out of the wind, because that can make a big difference. And then as far as hot weather goes, and I know the humidity can be really oppressive. And what I always try to do then is, you know, you want to keep water close and try to avoid the hottest hours of the day, and try to go outside early in the morning and later at night, maybe even sleep outside at night. You turn that into a little thing.
Mm-hmm, absolutely. It's funny. I'm definitely the oddball here within my friend group, because I would much prefer to go out in the winter and colder months than I would in the summer months. I don't know. I think I'm a redhead, so I burn very easily in the sun. So it was just something that I always tried to avoid. But I agree with you. I think that my biggest problem right now is my 15-month-old. He doesn't like to wear gloves. He just rips those bad boys off. And his if I put socks on his hands, he takes them off. So I want to take my older two outside, but I'm like, oh, Benjamin, we have to worry about you. So it is a tricky thing to navigate. I know that this isn't always as easy as it we may make it sound. But yeah, I definitely think those are some good tips. My last question, I didn't prompt you for this, but I'm wondering what you want readers to take away after reading your book.
I think the most important idea that I'm trying to get across with my book is that nature is really an essential part of childhood, and that it's something that we, you know, it's a gift that we can give our children, and it's a gift that can reap benefits, you know, their entire lives, to form that connection with nature, like at a really early age. I think that's priceless. If there's just one thing that they take away from the book, I think that will be it.
No, that's great advice. I definitely agree. Well, where can listeners find a copy of your book or connect with you online?
My book can be purchased, I think, in most booksellers, Amazon, of course, and listeners can connect with me through my blog, rainorshinemama.com, and that's mama with two M's, and my Instagram and Facebook, the same handles, rainorshinemama.
Perfect. Well, as we wrap things up here, I'm going to ask you the two questions I ask every guest. And the first one is, what is something that you're simplifying right now, aka what is your minimalist moment of the week?
So I think the pandemic has kind of forced us to, all of us, to live a little simpler. And, you know, my kids have never had a ton of activities, and I've always been pretty protective of their free time. But I think now we even live like simpler lives than normal. Mm-hmm. So to me, it's just enjoying nature, and, you know, nature is still open and available. At least it is here in Sweden. So we don't go very far right now. We stay pretty close to home, but it's nice. We have picnics, you know, nearby the house on the weekends and so forth. And another thing that I did to simplify more intentionally is that I have a New Year's Eve resolution this year that I'm not buying any new clothes in 2021.
Oh.
So, yeah, I'm excited about that. And it felt like such a big relief once I made the decision. It was like, okay, great. That's one less thing that I have to worry about or think about this year. If I really need something, I'll buy it used. But I don't think it's going to be a problem. So... Yeah, I'm excited about that.
I love that challenge. I have somewhat gotten away with that in past years since I've become a minimalist, but I feel like I cheat because I'll put things on my birthday wish list for my mother-in-law or my mom to give me. So I'm like, I don't know. I guess it still counts. But well, my very last question for you, and then I'll let you go, is what is something that you can't stop talking about?
Right now, I've been really excited about outdoor cooking. It's something that I've been dabbling with for the past few years, and I feel like I'm ready to sort of kick it up a notch. I've been starting to try some new recipes and also trying a lot of vegan cooking. My boyfriend is a vegan, and so I kind of fell into that as well, and I'm really excited about this whole veganism thing. So trying a lot of new recipes and being pretty excited about that.
Yeah, I feel like if someone were to prepare vegan meals for me, I could always live that way. But I'm not the best cook. So whenever I do, I'm just like, I can't quite get there. So I'm glad that you're trying. And I guess it's probably trial and error, to be honest.
Yeah. I think it's a matter of habit, too. I've been a vegetarian for over 30 years. So for me, the step is not that far. So. Mm-hmm.
No, that makes sense. Well, Linda, I'm so excited for listeners to hear this one. And hopefully that if they haven't read your book yet, that they will honestly run out and get it. Like I said, it's been really transforming into just what my comfort level is with being outside. So I'm glad you felt that stirring years ago when you first started your blog to write this, because I think it's a really important book.
Thank you, Diane. Thank you.
What did you think of the interview? Remember that you don't have to spend hours outside every day. Start small and just be intentional about getting outside. And as I said in the podcast, if you haven't read Linda's book, I highly recommend it. And if you have read it, I'd love to know your thoughts. I invite you to keep the conversation going at minimalistmomspodcast.com. There you'll find links to the Instagram account, Facebook page, and where you can find me all around the web. And lastly, don't forget to pre-order your copy of Minimalist Moms, releasing on March 16th. Thank you for joining up on this journey. I wish you a lovely week as you think more and do with less.
As humans, we're naturally driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. When I was looking to hire someone, it was so slow and overwhelming. I wish I had used Indeed. If you need to hire, you need Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform, with over 350 million global monthly visitors according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. And Indeed doesn't just help you hire faster. 93% of employers agree Indeed delivers the highest quality matches compared to other job sites, according to a recent Indeed survey. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/podcast. That's Indeed.com/podcast. Terms and conditions apply. As humans, we're naturally driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. When I was looking to hire someone, it was so slow and overwhelming. I wish I had used Indeed. If you need to hire, you need Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform, with over 350 million global monthly visitors according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. And Indeed doesn't just help you hire faster. 93% of employers agree Indeed delivers the highest quality matches compared to other job sites, according to a recent Indeed survey. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/podcast. That's Indeed.com/podcast. Terms and conditions apply.